Okay, value number 7 on the back of your program, the next generation is of utmost importance. Please take a look at this video.
My name is Heavenly Dar Jerkins, and I'm 5 years old. My talent is mostly singing.
How do you feel when you sing?
I feel happy.
You feel happy?
Very happy. And I love tap.
So you nervous at all?
She got this. Oh, I don't even know. Yeah, she lights up when she's on stage.
Really?
Oh yeah, that's her home.
She get it from her mama.
Swimming. Did you just say it? I want to go swimming right now.
Remember, it's all about doing your best. You know you're going to do that, right? Fist bump, Howie. Bam!
I am so excited.
Oh.
Hi.
Welcome to our stage. And what is your name?
My name's Heavenly Joy Jerkins.
That is a beautiful name. Your first name is Heavenly.
My aunt calls me Hev.
Okay. Yeah. How old are you, Hev?
I'm 5.
I love your outfit, by the way.
Thank you.
Tell me about yourself. What are you going to be doing today?
I'm going to be singing a song and do tap with it.
How did you get this ability at 5 years old? Do you have a musical family?
Since when I was 1, I used to sing.
Because you got to start at a young age in this business. You really do. Now, you know, if you win this whole thing, you get $1 million.
Well, if I get $1 million, I want them to keep them. I want to give them all over the world because some people don't have any clothes, so I'll give some clothes to them.
Aww. Well, you're raising it right.
By the way, I'm your favorite judge, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Very smart. All right. I wish you a lot of luck. I hope you win so all those people who don't have money get money, you know? Shirley Temple in movies on TV.
I watch that.
You watch that too?
Yep.
You know, I think Shirley Temple is living somewhere inside of you. Is that possible? Because...
Well, not Shirley Temple, Jesus.
There you go. How you talking?
Is that a surprise there at the end? Cute, cute kid. What do you see in that little girl that Jesus would commend? You think about her, just everything that kind of bubbled out of her. What made Jesus proud of her? Yeah, she walked and talked her faith. She wasn't afraid. Like, it was just natural, right? She wasn't like, oh, this is an opportunity to share my faith. Just like, no, it's not Shirley Temple, it's Jesus. Jesus really means something to her. Somebody said joy, right? Did you feel some joy just bubbling out of her? Just love of life? that generosity? Anybody get caught on that one? Like, ooh, little thing in my throat. Yeah, yeah. Just the kindness, respect towards the others. Crazy, crazy courage, unashamed faith. But Jesus is real to heavenly joy. He is real to her, isn't he? What a testimony out of the mouth of a five-year-old girl. Like, this is unplanned. Nobody staged that. Nobody scripted that. As we think about the next generation, one of the things I want us to think about is how much we can learn from children. We can learn a lot from kids. The next generation is of utmost importance. This is our seventh value. It's the last one on our list in the back of the program. It is certainly not the least important, right? This is not the least important value. Children are so beautiful. They're beautiful people. And our kids just leading us in worship, hopefully that brought a smile to your face. I'm pretty sure it brought a smile to Jesus' face. God, help us trust you like our kids do. They have a faith that we need. Would you open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, page 716 in the Bibles we provide, or you can open up your app, whatever works best for you. Mark chapter 10. We're going to find our seventh value is taught by Jesus right here. Right here in this interaction, kind of an unplanned, just spur of the moment happened, where Jesus has a run-in with his disciples. There's a little bit of a clash of values here between Jesus and the disciples, a moment of disalignment, you might say. So just watch what happened. Mark 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And here's where he gives it to them. "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is a brief but powerful encounter. Aren't you glad the disciples got it wrong sometimes? They got it wrong, and it gave Jesus a perfect opportunity to teach us something and them that we need to understand. The next generation is very important to Jesus. And in this little passage, I kind of see two main points coming out of this interaction. It's kind of a message for adults about children. This is a message for adults about children. Number one, don't ignore children. And number two, learn from them. And I don't know which one you might need more, but we must not ignore children, and we have a lot to learn from them. Look at verse 13, how it starts out. People are bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. The disciples rebuke them. Jesus saw this, and he rebukes them, right? He's indignant. Why are the people bringing their kids to Jesus? Anybody know? Were they bringing little lepers to Jesus? Do they have leprosy? I don't think so. They just wanted to be near Jesus. The kids wanted to be close to Jesus. Jesus was attractive to them. And as I think about kids, I have a few of my own. Kids have a way of sensing when an adult cares about them. They can sense that. And that draws them to those people. These kids just wanted to be near Jesus. Do you realize how much kids look up to adults? Most of you are adults in this room right now. Do you have any idea how much kids look up to you? You guys are heroes to them. Like it or not, for good or for bad, you are heroes to children, to some kids in your life. And I want us to think about that. And if you doubt that, just stop and look into their eyes for a minute. Get down on their level, look into their eyes, and that will tell you how much of a hero you are to them. You'll see it. when they go like this, stop and pick them up. Hold them. Take time to do that. You're a hero to them, and that is automatic. There's nothing you can do to change that. You are a hero to them. By choosing not to ignore them, it can stay that way, right? And it can be used for good in their life. Some people have heroes that are horrible heroes, right? That is not where we want to go. We want to understand this. College students, got some college students over here. You guys are the living definition of awesome to children. Seriously, I am not kidding at all. I remember when I was a kid. It was true then. It's true now. Look at those kids looking up to you, jumping up and down. You are the definition of awesome. That's the reality. That's how kids look at you. So what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Single adults, parents, grandparents, this is for everybody. This is for all of us. Please do not ignore children. The disciples really missed it here. They really missed it. As if Jesus didn't have time for these unimportant people. He was not going to look the other way on this one. And I can only imagine the disciples' conversation afterwards. After this rebuke, I told you we should have let them in. You know, like, I was thinking that. No, you weren't. This was your idea to push them away. You know, we don't know, but they missed it. They got it way wrong. Let's not get it wrong like that. Don't ignore kids. This is important. Kids matter a whole lot to Jesus. They need to matter to us. Do you see how upset Jesus was? The word indignant is used. Not angry, not frustrated. Indignant. That's a strong, powerful word. He was really upset about this. There's no looking the other way. He's not going to just pretend he didn't see it. This is a big deal. Really important. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. That is powerful. Now, when you think about Jesus' interaction, you look at those words in red, if your Bible has Jesus' words in red. Look at that message. What is Jesus' emphasis in that message? In his few words, he's not actually talking about taking the time to teach your kids. He doesn't say anything about that. You teach them what they need to know. No, he says you need to learn from them. You need to receive the kingdom of God like they do. So we have to learn from kids. Think about who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to his top guys. These are the cream of the crop, the ones he picked to stay with him, closest to him. They know more than anybody else about the kingdom of God right now. They were sent out on mission to do ministry in Jesus' name by themselves, two by two. They've already been sent out. When we get to Mark chapter 10, all that's already happened. And yet here he's saying to them, you guys need to learn from those kids. You need to learn how to receive the kingdom of God like they do. They're the ones getting it right. So I want you to just bring to mind some of the kids that are in your life. Does anybody not have any kids in your life at all? You don't? Not true. Not true. There are kids. I'm not asking if you have children, little children that are yours. I'm asking if you know any children, if there are any kids that are part of your life in any way, stretch, or form. I think everybody has some kids in their life somehow. And I just want you to think about this question right here. Is there something God wants you to learn from a child in your life? I got to think ahead about this and think through my kids. I thought through some of other Cornerstone kids. And every one of my kids, I identified a particular fruit of the Spirit that I see coming out of them, unique to them. It's who they are. And I can learn from them. I'm not going to talk about the specifics because I'm trying not to embarrass them publicly as much as I used to. But I can learn from every single one of my kids. They don't have it all right, but they have some things right that I don't have. So think about that right now. One or two kids that are in your life and something about them that they're getting right that you can learn from. I don't know how hard that is to think about. I took some time to think about it. But can you think of anything? Think of any strengths in a kid, a child that you know that, yeah, I don't have that. Why don't you just take a minute right now, and if you can think of someone, identify that child and just tell someone near you, yeah, this child has this, and I can learn from that. Can you do that? Just turn, if you have thought of something, maybe not everyone did, just take next 30 seconds, say, hey, this is something I see. This is a way I can learn from a child in my life. You do that? Go for it. You think of a few things? How many of you can say, I did think of something? I'm not going to call on you, I promise. I did think of something. Good. A lot of hands. We have a lot to learn from our kids. We really do. Back a while ago, we were going through the Gospel of Mark together in our Thrive series, and we went through this passage. And during that time, I just kind of really thought through, what does it mean to receive the kingdom of God like a child? And I don't know if you remember that. We talked about it's more than just the faith of a child. He doesn't say you need to receive the kingdom of God with the faith of a child. You need to receive the kingdom of God like a child. So I thought, okay, that kind of opens it up. What are kids like? How do they receive the kingdom of God? How do they function in ways that they have strengths that adults tend to lose as they mature? Maybe you can think of it that way. Kids have strengths that adults lose as they mature. It's an unfortunate part of growing up. And I just thought of a few. It's like, okay, how does a little child receive the kingdom of God? And here are five strengths: awestruck wonder, wild delight, simple faith, unrestrained love, and unashamed dependence. Think about those ideas for a minute. Do you see any of that in the kids you know? MJ coming running down the aisle. Akea flailing wildly. Awestruck wonder. I watched a video about funny kids this week, and this little baby, like a one-year-old, a teenager, was doing a magic trick, and he pulled off a piece of toilet paper, and he crumpled it into his hand, and he went like this, and he threw it. And you could see the tissue going off this way, and this one-year-old baby just went like this. Like four times in a row, again and again and again, just awestruck wonder. Simple faith. Unrestrained love. Right? You're thinking of things, right? Unashamed dependence. They're not afraid to need. And we lose some of those things. I tell you what, if you receive the kingdom of God with those things, you're in good shape. That's where we want to go. Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. When you're singing, when you're reading your Bible, you want to respond to things. You want to see something about God and say, wow, God, thank you, with awestruck wonder or wild delight. Enjoy life with God. We have a lot to learn from our kids. Please do not ignore children. We have a tendency to do that. We're in a more important conversation. Kids doing this. Da, 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 da. dad, 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 dad. I'm not kidding. What am I guilty of? Why would he have to say it 40, or she, 47 times? Make time for children. It's not just good for them, it's good for you. It'll help you remember what really matters. I've been thinking about this, and I came home from work one day, and Ethan knew I was coming. He knew when I was coming home, so he was watching for me. And I came around the corner. He comes flying out the door, and he's just running. He's booking at me, barefoot. Barefoot. He's just running up the sidewalk to me. And I thought, man, that eagerness, that enthusiasm, that wild delight, like, I need to have that when I approach God. I just want to be with you. I'm going to run barefoot because I want to be with you. That was Ethan that day. Wild delight. The next generation is of utmost importance because we have a lot to learn from young people. After we get that, then we can go to the next piece of this puzzle. The third point in your program. The next generation is of utmost importance because God has given us responsibility to teach them. That is important too. But we got to get our thinking straight about how much we can learn from kids before we can really start teaching them. We can't be looking down on them or be irritated with them. We can see some of these qualities that are not yet matured out of them as actually good things. And I know kids can sometimes get on our nerves and they do things that sometimes frustrate us. And they don't always do the right thing. So there is a need to teach our kids. There is a need. We have something to offer our kids, and that's pretty important too. And the scripture that's on the underneath this point is Proverbs 22:6. This is a classic verse. A lot of people have used this and heard about it before. But here's what it says just in the middle of the book of Proverbs. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. It's not a guarantee, not a promise, not a every single time. This is just our responsibility. This is wisdom from Proverbs. This is our responsibility to train our kids. As much as we have to learn from them, we are responsibility to teach them, and this is a huge responsibility, especially for parents, but really for any adult who has opportunity to interact with kids, whether it's in church or whether it's in other situations. Deuteronomy 6 has a lot to say about raising kids and what you should do, and it puts the bulk of the responsibility right in the laps of the parents. Train up your child. Teach them. Work with them. It doesn't put the responsibility mostly on the teachers at church or at school. That's not where the responsibility sits. It's on the shoulders of the parents. It's your job to train them up, to know God, to learn what's important to him. It's your job to teach them how to live, how to treat others, how to respond to disappointment, to teach them a work ethic, to sharing, humility, forgiveness, all these things, how to study the Bible, right? We could make a list and keep on going. There's a lot that kids need to learn, a lot that we're responsible for, and that when I first became a parent, and, you know, that just becomes overwhelming. Like, how in the world am I going to do that? There's so much. Well, we've been talking about, for the last several months, what's a healthy Christian? What does a healthy Christian do? And so I think we can simplify and wrap our arms around it just by using those three words that we've been using for a while. What are those three words? Immerse, fuse, radiate. Right? And what that means is to teach them to immerse themselves in practical Bible teaching, to get into the Bible, whether it's in Sunday school or at home or however. The Bible's practical. There's so much for them to learn from it. Teach them to immerse themselves in practical Bible teaching, to fuse together with other believers, how to interact with others, and that this is really important, and to radiate God's love by serving others. I really think those things will cover a whole lot. And if you will model that well, just think about that first one, immersed in practical Bible teaching. How much stuff is in here that kids need to learn, kids need to understand? So that covers a lot. It's not really simple. It's just a little bit easier to wrap your arms around. Okay, this is what I need to do. Model it. Teach them while they're still young. Proverbs 22, they're far more likely to stay on that path later than if you take a hands-off approach and let them figure it out on their own. That drives me nuts when I hear parents say they're going to let them figure out what they believe and what they understand, and they're just going to take their hands off. Now, they do have to figure out what they believe. I get that. But I know a parent that said that to me, and they took their hands off. Their kids are adults now, and they're just all over the place. It's not okay to just say, no, we are responsible to train them up, to teach them, to bring truth, to teach them about God, his standards, his holiness, what's appropriate and what's not. So the hands-off approach is not okay. The giving it responsibility to someone else is not okay. It's just not logical how important this is. It's not logical to just let them figure it out. Just think about it. You're not going to toss your 16-year-old a set of keys, say, here, drive the new truck, and you haven't taught him how to drive. That's crazy. Why would we do that in something this important? The things of eternity, things of God. Here's a Bible and a Quran. Figure it out. Some people don't even do that. We've got to teach them. We are responsible to invest in our kids. Now, I'm sure nobody here has gone that far. But this is just a reminder. It's my responsibility. And we can do that together as a family. We can lean a little bit on some of the college students who love God to have influence with our kids. We can lean a little bit on some of the teachers who love our kids, who invest in them every Sunday. Some of the adults who are in your home group that love your kids. Like, we can do that, but it's ultimately the bulk of it is on the parents. We've got to teach them. And I tell you what, it's a long process. Some things you need to teach them hundreds and hundreds of times. Didn't we talk about that already? We already covered that. Refer back to September 3rd. Over and over and over and over. We gotta work with them. So we could have a lengthy series about this whole thing. We're not going to do that. A couple years ago, we went through a 15-session class taught by Ted Tripp, and I just throw it up here. This is a resource that you may be interested in. It's called Shepherding a Child's Heart. It's a lot of work. There's good stuff in here, a lot of good stuff. We actually have a set of DVDs we used. So there's teaching DVDs. There's a book. If you want to borrow one of these from me, you're welcome to do that. Just let me know. I'll give you a DVD at a time. But I'll just tell you, heads up, there's a lot of really good stuff in here, but this is not entertaining. This isn't like watching TV. This is like manual for parenting, okay? But there's solid stuff in there. Ted Tripp's brother, Paul Tripp, he just came out with this book, Parenting, 4 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. I just got a hold of that book. I read one chapter so far, but Paul Tripp has some really good things to say. So these are just tools, because this is a hard job. Get books like that, read them, live them. Whether you have your own kids or not, the next generation is important. And we have to not give in to this idea that it's the church's job to raise our kids. It's not. It's not about the classes that they go to. We cannot leave that responsibility to someone else. He leaves it with us. And I want to share just a little bit that I found in this book. It's called Sticky Teams. It's about leadership in church. Nobody can replace the influence of a parent. That's the most important. The church's job is to equip parents to do that well. So here's just a quick quote that resonated with me that I'll share with you. At North Coast Church, which is a mega church in California, our small groups are the hub of our ministry and the primary vehicle for relationships, discipleship, and church health. That's why our children's ministry is not allowed to have a midweek program. No matter how great it might be for the kids in their ministry, we found that most people only give us 2 time slots per week, including the weekend worship service. If we had a midweek children's program, the volunteer staffing needs would cut into our ability to get parents into small groups. And for the sake of the entire ministry, here it is, we believe a growing mom and dad is far more important than an awesome children's program. I believe that with all my heart. A growing mom and dad is more important than an awesome children's program. So as a church, we want to support, we want to bolster and help, complement what you're doing with the best quality we can do with who we are and what we have. We want to provide a community of people who can also invest in your kids, but please don't leave this job to others. God didn't design it to work that way. He didn't design it to be a drop-off and let them be discipled and then pick them up. God didn't make it that way. The parent at home is the primary mentor, teacher, and hero of those kids. Nobody else can take that place unless they adopt. Other mentors can come alongside, and other adults can have significant influence, which is great, really helpful. But this is a responsibility God's given us. Next generation is of utmost importance. I want to change gears real quick, just a little bit right here. I've been talking about younger kids a lot, right? But when you think about the next generation, we also have to think about the college students. They are the next generation too. And that group of young people are very important to God and to us. And that part of this value goes all the way back to when we first started, when Cornerstone was first born. High Point Baptist Chapel is the church we call our mother church. Geigertown, Pennsylvania, 45 minutes from here. It was her vision to start a new church in Kutztown almost 20 years ago. Why Kutztown? Because of Kutztown University. That's why they wanted to start a church in Kutztown. Huge part of it was that. How many students spend some of the most influential years of their life here? And when Cornerstone first started in 1998, there was hardly anything going on as far as student ministry goes. No churches were really reaching students. There wasn't much going on. The campus ministries, the Kutztown Christian Fellowship did exist then, and they had maybe 20 students. Now, you guys know what it's like now, right? It's a little bit different. A little bit different now from what it was. And 19 years later, I am happy to say I know of at least 4 churches in Kutztown that are effectively serving students and have a vibrant ministry to them in some way. The campus ministries, Kutztown Christian Fellowship, and Crew are seeing awesome things happen by the power of God. Hundreds of students are being served, and their lives are changing. They're sharing their story, and just awesome things are happening. So 19 years ago to now, it's completely different. You guys are blessed to be involved now than back then because God is working. And we're a little part of that. Little part of that. The next generation is really important. That includes the college students. So as I thought about that, I praise God for what he's done, what he's doing in the students at KU. So I don't know how well you agree with this value, the next generation, if it's really that important to you, or if kids are just kind of an obstacle or an annoyance sometimes. But if you're thinking, yeah, they really are important, I get that. I see this cute little girl who says, yeah, Jesus is in me with no shame, no fear, no nothing. Just, yeah, this is reality. If you want to do a better job valuing the next generation, you're thinking, yeah, I want to do better with that. Just want to leave you with just a couple practical suggestions. Nothing too crazy. You want to do this? You want to do this better? Just number one, take some time this week to play with a child. Play with them. Not to have them do what you already wanted to do. I do that sometimes. But just play with them, whatever they want to do. If they want to play with cars, play with cars. Ethan's into space fights. We have these space Legos, and we're flying around the kitchen, and I'm shooting invisible missiles at him. Just play with a kid. Find out what they want to do. They want to play with dolls? Play with dolls. Touch them. Do you see what Jesus did? He touched them appropriately, right? Nothing inappropriate about touching a child and loving them, right? Some of my kids more than others, but man, they love to be touched. And held and hugged and high-fived and whatever. Don't be afraid. Be appropriate, but don't be afraid. Look them in the eyes. That might be the thing you need to do this week. Just drop down and look a child in the eyes. how often do you stay straight? And then, and but I'll tell you, if you do this, they're going to do it too. They do. They're like, okay, I guess that's what we do right now. Play with a child. You think you could do that this week? You could do it. If you don't have kids in your life, they're here today. They're here today, so you can stay for an extra 20 minutes and spend some time with a child. Number two, teach by story. We do have a lot to teach them, but it doesn't all have to come at the end of a finger, right? Teach by story. Your story, share your failures, tell stories. My kids, I hate to admit this, but they've stopped asking me to tell them a story because I put it off. I put it off. Nah, I can't think of any. Tell them stories. Bible stories. Get a hold of a good Bible story book. They love that. Sit down, put them on your lap, read to them. Biographies, stories from people long gone by. We have some biographies on our table out there from missionaries and just people who serve God. They're written for kids. Grab one, read it. Teach by story. They love that. My kids listen to Odyssey, Adventures in Odyssey. That's teaching by story. They tell these stories. They were learning about drugs. This chicken that was talking to this kid. Like, I can't make that stuff up. I can tell my stories, but let them learn by story. The last thing I'm going to give you, include them in your pi squared strategy. What am I talking about? If you don't know, pi squared is our strategy for reaching people who are far from God, for loving people who are far from Him. Think about kids when you think about pi squared. Pi squared stands for pray, invest, invite. A bunch of you knew that already. Pray, invest, invite. So pick a kid or two to pray for every day, not just one time. You're praying for them. This is a child that matters to me, matters to God. I'm going to pray for that child. I'm going to invest in their life. I'm going to do something that shows them that they matter. I'm going to invite them to something. That's inviting them to the next step in their journey. If they're already a believer, you might be inviting them to take a step in their growth in some way. Pray, invest, invite. Think about what child you might want to pray about and for. That helps you grow to love them. So play with them, teach by story, and include them in your pi squared strategy. You know, think about Heavenly Joy, right? That little girl. Somebody taught her. Somebody invested in her. She didn't just figure out Jesus is in her. She didn't just figure that out. Her parents invested in her. You could see that. The next generation is of utmost importance. So turn to the back of your program. If you have one, there's some next steps. What's going to be your next step this week? Is this value your value? If it is, what are you going to do to demonstrate that? That's one way that we can align together that this is important. Our kids matter a lot. So take the next minute just to think about, all right, what am I going to do? It could be simple. It could be radical. Whatever God's calling you to do, take a minute to think about that. Father, we thank you so much for the kids that you've put in our lives. We have a bunch of kids who are here, part of Cornerstone. Lord, some of them are sick today. We hate that. We hate it when kids are sick and just stuck in bed or just feeling horrible, high fevers, stomach upset. Lord, we pray for your mercy and your healing for them. God, thank you for our kids. They are so special to you. And Father, I pray that they'd be more special to us. We have a lot to learn from them. We've also got a lot to teach them. So help us each to take another step in valuing the next generation. There were some major trouble spots that your people, Israel, got into when they did not teach by story. They did not pass on the truth and the encouragement about you and the stories of what you've done in the past. And whole generations were lost, just wandered away, and faced a whole lot of pain as a result. So God, help us to love our kids enough to invest in them. We're so busy. Teach us how to not be too busy. We need your help with that. Help us not miss the most important things. As we look into the eyes of children this week, let us be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.